Verse 8, do not go out hastily to argue your case. Oh, my. Now listen, here's a little disclaimer. I know most of you in this room fairly well. Some of you are a little hasty in your opinions. Do not... I'm not pointing any fingers, just a few. Do not go out hastily to argue your case. Otherwise, what will you do in the end when your neighbor puts you to shame? Now, Solomon uses this same Proverbs over in Proverbs 17, verse 14. Same theme. He says, the beginning of strife is like letting out water. So abandon the quarrel before it breaks out. When you let out water, unless you're catching it in a pan, it's hard to get it back up off the ground. You just don't, you know, you let it out on the ground, it's just going to go everywhere. That's just what it does. I wish you'd used the word oil there instead of water, because for those of us who know, one drop of oil on your concrete looks like it's a gallon of oil out there. I don't know if you know that. Water will run away and evaporate. Oil just tends to mess everything up. But he uses the word water because that was something they understood back then. Abandon it. Don't let the water out of the faucet and just run all over the ground. In other words, make sure you've got your case settled. Make sure you've got a good point. Jesus used the same theme over in Matthew chapter 5, verse 25, when he says, make friends quickly while your opponent at law, with your opponent at law while you are with him on the way, in order that your opponent may not deliver you to the judge and the judge to the officer, and you be thrown into prison. Folks, I get phone calls all the time. I need a lawyer. I need a lawyer. I need to sue somebody. And I'll say, well, tell me what this, I need, you know, not all lawyers are equal. Not all lawyers do the same lawyering. I need to know specifically what you're wanting to do. And almost all the time I say to people, okay, I can give you the name of a lawyer, and I will if you want me to, but if I were you, I think I would just let this one go. I would just let this one go because you're going to spend a whole lot of money to get nowhere because you don't know what's going to turn out because there's two sides to the story. And it sounds like to me and you, what I'm hearing you say to me, the best thing you can say to that other person is, I'm sorry, will you please forgive me? And go on down the road. Scripture says, make friends before you get before the judge. Now, I do have every once in a while somebody calls me and says, I don't care what it costs. I am going to sue the pants off of this person. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Laura. Yes. Now, I hope you know that if you don't care what it costs and you're going to sue the pants off that person, that is an ungodly attitude. Esquire. Unless it's just a dire thing. Don't argue with folks. Don't be quick to argue. Oh, mercy. Okay, don't be too hasty. Verse 9. Argue your case with your neighbor, and do not reveal the secret of another, lest he who hears it reproach you, and the evil report about you not pass away. Listen. Jesus uses the same theme over in Matthew chapter 18, verse 15. He says, and if your brother sins, go and reprove him in private. And if he listens to you, you have won your brother. It is permissible to discuss things with friends. But I'm telling you what this proverb says. Don't discuss your private business. You discuss your private business. I promise you that the message you may be saying to someone is not going to be the message that they're probably going to hear. Now, if you've not been, if you in your life have never experienced where you said something which you know what you said, and then it was repeated, and that's not what you said, and it's repeated over and over, that gossips out. And your character can be tainted by what someone says you said, even if it's not what you said. Now, I know that's saying a lot about what you said that you didn't say because you thought you said that someone else thought you said what you thought you said, but they just heard it different. I mean, I'm married. I know I say things to my wife that when she repeats them, that is not what I said. It's what she heard, but it's not what I said. Well, you have that same problem whenever you are dealing with people around you, in your workplace, and even in your neighborhood. There are things about your private business that you need to keep quiet, because they will stretch them, they will tell them, they will turn them around, and they will add nasty little details to them, especially if they're not friends of yours, really. If they're angry with you, they will change it up, and they will destroy your character if you allow them to do it. And that evil is hard to get away from. Verse 11, like apples of gold in settings of silver is a word spoken in right circumstances. I really love this. Over in back in Proverbs 15:23, there Solomon said, a man has joy in an apt answer, and how delightful is a timely word. Now that goes along with this current thing that Solomon is saying here. Isaiah, who was prophesying when this passage was recorded, says this, the Lord God has given me the tongue of disciples, that I may know how to sustain the weary one with a word. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to listen as a disciple. You need to understand, you may not want to say a lot of words, but the right word said at the right moment, at just the right point in a person's life, judicially spoken, just in that proper way, is just as beautiful to that person as a gold apple setting over in a beautiful silver dish on a table. Those are beautiful. Sometimes words need to be said. Over and over, I give people recommendations. I probably could list those recommendations that I use over and over and over again. And they tend to be the recommendations that always work. They're always right. But along the way, I get into a hiccup. You know, I talk about people's problems, I call them hiccups. And I will get into a hiccup. And because I know all the facets of what my hiccup is, I will think about those words that I have said to other people and go, that's what I should do, but because of these other little facets, maybe I shouldn't do it that way. And every time I go against that good counsel that has stood the test of time for 25 years, and I go against it, I get burned. I always get burned. And so I have finally, in my old age, learned to go seek counsel for someone from someone else. And so time after time, I'll knock on the door of John Morgan, knock on the door of Chuck Schneider, and say, here's my situation. I want you to tell me what you think I ought to do. And they tell me. And it's almost always exactly what I tell other people. Almost always. And you know what? Just hearing it out of their mouth, just a short little word, brings comfort and is beautiful. And sometimes you say, I needed to hear that. I needed to hear that. You know, one of my favorite passages is this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your... You got it. You hear it almost every week at the end of the class for me, right? And this week, because of something going on, a person who was just there that I have has never been in my presence before. That's the first day that I met him. Something was going on, and he looked at me. He said, Jim, just trust in your heart, in the Lord, and lean not on your own understanding. And in all his ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. And I thought, I needed that right there. You can spew it out of your mouth all the time, but it doesn't mean that you've got it right where it needs to be. I needed that. Verse number 12. Like an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold is a wise reprover to a listening ear. Now, the earring of gold in this passage is talking about a nose ring. a nose ring of gold. If you remember, the purpose of the ring in the nose was to make a nonverbal announcement to the world that that person, that woman who put that nose ring in the left nostril, that she was engaged. If you go back in your scripture, you'll remember, well, Rebekah is up in Mesopotamia when Abraham's servant goes and asks her to come be the wife of Isaac. And the scripture tells us that Rebekah, who's not even met Isaac ever, agrees to be his wife. And the scripture tells us that she took a ring of gold and she put it in her left nostril or in her nose. And that was a nonverbal sign that she belonged to someone else, that she was engaged. So that's an interesting proverb here, because like an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold is a wise reprover to the listening ear. There are signs out there, in other words. That ring of gold tells someone who is may want to be making advances or maybe wanting to tell you something or do something with you that you don't have that intentions. My wife, when she was working on her PhD, when I was not flying her in the airplane, our airplane, she was flying commercially. And my wife, if you remember, is a pretty good-looking woman, very good-looking woman, especially when she was in her 20s and 30s. And so when she climbed on the airplanes with all those businessmen, she needed something as an unspoken token to tell men that she was not interested. So do you know what she took with her? Her Bible. You be a woman on an airplane opening your Bible to read it with businessmen in suits drinking liquor next to you, they're not going to bother you, and she was never bothered when she had her Bible. The one time she didn't have her Bible, she had a little bit of trouble. She never, ever entered an airplane without her Bible after that. Unspoken token is what Solomon is talking about there. Verse 13. Let the cold of snow in the time, like the cold of snow in the time of harvest, is a faithful messenger to those who send him, for he refreshes the soul of his master. Snow at harvest. Think about this. It snows a lot in Israel, it does. And it even snows in the fall. You remember, there are spring harvest, there are summer harvest, and there are fall harvest of different crops that they would grow. In the wintertime, they would plant wheat. And the kind of wheat that they had back in those days was a wheat that needed snow on it to make it grow well. In fact, even up in Ellis County, when they planted the wheat up there in Ellis County, Kay's grandfather, who was a big farmer up there of wheat, they always wanted just a little snow on the crop because it made it grow very, very well. That's not what Solomon's talking about here. He's talking about the fall crop. When you're coming out of that heat and it's time to get that crop in, you don't want rain. You would love to have just a little snow to make the heavy load of getting that heavy crop in. And just a little coolness with maybe a few flakes of snow would bring in and make that harvest time a much more pleasant time. Not rains, but snow. And so too, like Solomon says that, a faithful messenger is just like that. It just makes receiving that message a little bit better, a little bit easier whenever a faithful messenger comes and delivers it, opposed to someone that you don't trust. If you don't trust, you still worry about the message. Let's look on. Verse 14. Like clouds and winds without rain is a man who boasts of his gifts falsely. The book of Judges actually uses this same theme when it says this, talking about false prophets, talking about people who are false teachers, talking about people who are coming into a church with a different agenda, an apostasy agenda. Jude says this, the book of Jude, not the book of James, but the book of Jude says this, these men are those who are hidden reefs in your love feast, that they feast with you without fear, caring for themselves, clouds without water, carried along by winds, autumn trees without fruit, doubly dead, uprooted. Doubly dead, uprooted. It's very interesting. You remember I came from the Ellis County area, and there they planted crops. In fact, they rotate crops now. They rotate cotton on the fields 1 year, and they put sunflowers on the fields the next year up in Ellis County. It's very interesting. Sunflowers have now become the new cash crop in Ellis County. They grow two different kinds. One is for oil, and one is for sunflower seeds that we eat. And the pods of sunflowers are about the same size, but the way you know the difference in which ones are for oil and which ones are for eating is the ones for oil have real short yellow leaves, and the ones for eating have big long yellow leaves. It's very interesting. It's interesting to see those heads of those sunflowers bow down and away from the sun. You would think they would turn towards the sun, but no, they turn away from the sun when it's so hot to protect those seeds. Interesting how God makes nature. But I'll never will forget how many times when we would go through these seasons where the clouds, you know, that was Tornado Alley, and the clouds would come in and we'd think, oh, it's going to rain finally. Our crops need it so bad. And there's so much potential in those clouds. They're gray. They're heavy with water. That rain is going to come. It's going to help our crops. And the rain doesn't come. It blows on by, passes us up. And the farmers are so disappointed. And that year the crops fail. It's so sad because I remember the case grandfather saying, you know, we made good money about every 2 or 3 years. But the rest of the time we had to go to bank and go a little further in the hole in order to put our crops in. Every year hoping for a good crop. Every year having to listen to the banker saying, don't know if we're going to be able to do it this year or not for you. I know you got to get that seed in, but, you know, last year was a bad year. You hadn't paid that bill yet. And they'd have to negotiate with the bankers. And then finally they'd get the good crop, and it would pay up and pay all the previous bills and be ready for the next year. And then he started the cycle again. Well, experience reveals to us that most bragging people are like that. They look like they have a lot of potential, but they don't fulfill their promises in any way, form, or fashion. Verse 15. For by forbearance a ruler may be persuaded, and a soft tongue breaks the bone. This theme is a favorite theme of Solomon. It's in Proverbs chapter 15, 1, where he says, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. In Proverbs 16, 14, he says this, the wrath of a king is the messenger of death, but a wise man will appease it. So before Solomon spoke these words, in the Proverbs, we can also go back to Abigail, who was the wife of another man, who the other man had spurned David. And Abigail went to David, knowing the sin of her husband. And Abigail says this to David in 1 Samuel 25, 24. He says, oh, me alone, my Lord, be the blame. And please let... Oops, I lost that off of there, didn't I? Oh, me alone, and please let your maidservant speak to you and listen to the words of your maidservant. And David was so persuaded by her that his anger was calmed. And after her husband died, he called for her and he brought her in and he married her, made her one of his wives, and took care of her. Verse 16, have you found honey? Eat only what you need, lest you have it in excess and vomit it. Let your foot rarely be in your neighbor's house, lest he become weary of you and hate you. No other food source compared in sweetness to honey back in Solomon's days, in those ancient world. The body of a person who is not accustomed to sweetness, you know what happens to that. Some of y'all have been on diets, and then you go out and you get you a little donut or something like that, and the sweetness that are in it makes you sick. Because you're not used to it and you feel like you're going to vomit. That's what Solomon's talking about here. Because if you find honey and you get it when it's in season and you start eating it and you just love it, and then lo and behold, you get so much of it and you just vomit it up. The same way, you find a friend, a new friend, and you start going to their house and you're there over and over and over again. And at first they like you being there, and then it doesn't take long till you're sick of them. You want them out of your house. They become weary. Well, a person should not tread the floors of a neighbor's house too often. because he will soon become a dreaded sight and an unwelcome guest. I know that for a fact. You do too. All of us in our life have somebody that kept knocking on our door. And you could tell who it was by the knock, the way they knocked. We had a little friend that kept coming to my door in my house, and he rang the doorbell in a certain way. Ding-a-ding, ding-ding-ding. Ding-a-ding, ding-ding-ding. Ding. And my mother would say, "That's your little friend. Tell him we're busy." She was sick and tired of him. Ding-a-ding, a ding-ding-ding. Ding-a-ding, a ding-ding-ding. I had a ring too. Mine was ding-ding, ding-ding, ding-ding. So if I came in at 2 o'clock and rang the doorbell, ding-ding, 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 my mother knew it was me coming home. And if I was, she didn't even expect me. If I was coming in from East Texas and I rang the doorbell like that, she knew it was me. She was happy to see me. She wasn't happy to see my friend. Do not be like honey, that sweetness that causes you to vomit. Be careful about that with your neighbors. Verse 18, like a club and a sword and a sharp arrow is a man who bears false witness against his neighbor. Liars, in other words, cannot be trusted. And association with liars will only bring danger and heartache, like a deadly club or a sword or an arrow will. If you're dealing with liars and you know they are liars, I can show you multiples of scriptures that says to you, stay away from them. Verse 19, like a bad tooth and an unsteady foot is confidence in a faithless man in time of trouble. Now, modern dentistry did not exist back then, but they had dentists. Now, they were brutal, and it was very barbaric, but there was dentistry that went on. And let's say that you had an unsteady foot, a lame foot. Listen. There's nothing that makes you hurt worse in this world than a bad tooth, and there's nothing that brings you unsteadiness more than a bad leg. Neither of them help your body. Some of you know what we're talking about whenever you have a bad leg or a bad knee. And the doctors let that bad knee go so long that you favor the other knee and cause the other knee to go bad. Now, we've had that happen in this class. That is not good. A faithless man in time of trouble is as good to you as a bad tooth or a lame leg. In other words, they're not good at all. Looking on verse 20, it says this, like one who takes off a garment on a cold day, or like vinegar on soda, is he who sings songs to a troubled heart. It is a cruel thing to take the coat away from a person on a cold day. How cruel is it? Well, it just spews and foams just like vinegar poured on soda. That's how cruel it is, that action that it takes. Same way, you're having trouble. Someone says, oh, let's go sing some songs. Well, those songs may bring a little comfort for a little while, and then what happens is you turn back to the trouble again. Sometimes the best thing you can do with trouble is live through it and get on past it. That's the best thing to do. Verse 21. If your enemy is hungry, give him food to eat. And if he is thirsty, give him water to drink. For you will heap burning coals on his head, and the Lord will reward you. It's kind of interesting because Paul uses this same theme over in Romans chapter 12, verse 20, when he says, but if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him drink. For in doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Now, in the center of every village, there was a fire, and that fire was stoked day and night. Every morning, a boy would come along. It was his job and his task to put a pan on top of his head that had a little cushion between it, and they would heap coals up into the top of that pan, and he would go around to each of the house, and he would deliver a burning coal to the door of each house. Those people would come in, they would come out, they would get that coal, they would go and start their fires for the day. So if their fires went out through the night, which usually they did, they would have a coal the next morning to start their fires, heaping burning coal. What this is talking about is heaping burning coals is heaping a safety net, in other words. You're heaping onto them some justness and some kindness. You're not really burning their head. Your kindness that you're giving to them is giving them something to hold on to that is compassionate and is not revenge. If you have an enemy, heap kindness and compassion upon them. Don't heap revenge upon them. If you heap kindness and compassion, you hope that it will change their hearts. Verse 23 says this. The north wind brings forth wind. Now in Israel, that is a true statement. Because when the north wind blows, it's bringing moisture from the north in almost every case. And a backbiting tongue, an angry countenance. Well, just as the north wind in Israel is going to bring rain. It's winds coming out of the north, they knew they were going to get rain. So too, if you know someone who's got a backbiting tongue, you can just pretty well be assured that they're going to give you that look. Do you know what that look is? Anybody know any backbiters? Tell stories around you? And then whenever you're walking by, they do this to you? You know what the countenance is. Solomon's talking about that. People have not changed, have they? 2,800 years, people have not changed. 24, we won't spend much time on this because we already have. It is better to live in the corner of the roof than in a house shared with a contentious woman. How many times is this going to come up? Living in peace in a small little cottage is much better than living in a huge mansion with a contentious woman, is what he says. Verse 25. I'm going to go past that one pretty quick because I don't want to be shot at. Verse 25. Like cold water to a weary soul, so is good news from a distant land. Now, news traveled very slowly back in Solomon's day. And when it was good news, it was very comforting to their souls. And that's just like cold water that's given to a weary person. It brings comfort. Verse 26. Like a trampled spring and polluted well is a righteous man who gives way before the wicked. A righteous man should never let his reputation be ruined by the ways of the wicked. Should never. Once a well is contaminated, it can never be trusted again to be good water. And once a righteous man has been contaminated, he can never again be trusted to be righteous. Because you can't see what's truly in his heart. Verse 27 says this. It is not good to eat much honey. Honey is a good deal, I guess. It's not good to eat much honey. Nor is it glory to search out one's own glory. This chapter has already addressed both of these themes. It's also going to be used in chapter 27, verse 7. Indulging in self-glory is just as bad as eating too much honey. The honey will bring sickness to your body, and the self-glory will cause a sickness in other people's souls towards you. Then, in verse 28, like a city broken into and without walls is a man who has no control over his spirit. Both the city without walls and the man without self-control are vulnerable to all sorts of trouble. They cannot sleep at night because they don't know who's going to come to attack them. They have trouble. There is rarely a sense of peace for those who live in a city that's unguarded. So too is it as a man who is without control. A man without control, without self-control, cannot be trusted and brings peace to no one. So that ends chapter 25, and we will pick up on the next chapter the next time we're together. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this time to study your word and listen to the Proverbs of Solomon that are so good and so great. In your name, amen and amen.